Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Excellent.
Good to see you, Wes. It's been a while. He grew up in this assembly, right?
Yeah.
Good to see you. What a blessed day it is. It's the, as we call it, the Resurrection Day, remembering that the Lord rose from the grave. And thank you for those songs, Bob. More about Jesus, what I know, and more of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. This morning I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 4. I've spoken in Philippians before, but we didn't get into chapter 4 at all, but I thought it was somewhat appropriate given that today is Resurrection Sunday. And you'll see from some of the verses I share from this chapter that as it leads us into chapter 4, hopefully you'll see what I've seen in it, and I thank the Lord for it. But I'd like to just read a few verses before we move along in chapter 4. Starting in chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Chapter 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then to chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then skip over to verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then I'd like to read the whole chapter, but chapter 4, but we'll go through it. But just I want to point out one verse right now, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So we see in chapter 1 that our life purpose is to live in Christ, and to die is gain. And then we see in chapter 2 the Lord Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. We have a wonderful pattern in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in how we should live. And then in chapter 3, we see the Apostle Paul speaking to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing him. And as that song says, more about Jesus would I know. What a wonderful thought that is, and it's in harmony with what we're looking at here in Philippians chapter 3. And then in verse 13, we see we do all things through Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is all our power. But brothers and sisters, what I'd like to suggest is that when we look at this chapter, we keep in mind what is said here in chapter 3, and that is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise thee and thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful fact. And thank you, Lord, that we who believe on him have this blessed hope. And as was said earlier, that without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. So we thank thee, Lord, for the resurrection. Help us, Lord, as we look through this chapter, to see from your word our need for the power of Christ in our life, that we might live out the resurrection in our lives, the power of his resurrection, as the Apostle Paul would say. So we just give thee thanks now for this time together and just ask you to bless it and ask for strength in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in chapter 4 here, we see this power of the resurrection, I believe. The power of the resurrection. And if we look at verses, well, first of all, let's look back at the end of chapter 3. And I think it's interesting because chapter 4, he begins with a therefore. And in verses 17 through 21, we see here that the Apostle Paul is reminding these saints at Philippi that there are those that would be of the concision and that would try to promote the flesh. In the beginning of chapter 3, we see, beware of dogs and beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ. And I think he's referring to in here, in verse 18 of chapter 3, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. We don't want to be the enemies of the cross of Christ, do we? But these men are enemies because they walk after the lust of the flesh, and they want to do what the those that say to mutilate their flesh would have them do, so that they could earn some kind of favor with God. But there's no favor to be earned with God in the mutilation of the flesh. And we see in verse 17, their end is destruction, and their God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. And what do? They mind earthly things. And I think this is a severe warning from the Apostle Paul here, that we should not be concerning ourselves with earthly things. We shouldn't be minding earthly things. And you know, that's easily said, but when we're not reading the Scriptures, we're not in tune with that. We're not in tune with the fact that we are to be in fellowship with the Spirit that is in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. We're reminded of that in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we're to be constantly aware of the fact that, as Paul says here, our conversation is in heaven. And that simply means our citizenship. How did we get to be citizens here of, in your case, Bob, Connecticut? Our case, in many of us, Massachusetts? How did we get here? We were born here. Same thing with the Spirit. They which are born of the Spirit are born into heaven. We are a citizenship now is in heaven. We're sojourners here, but we should keep in mind that we are on our way to our real home, which is in heaven. And that's why our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also, what do? We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he's coming back from. He's coming back from heaven, because right now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And that's where our focus should be. We are here physically, but we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 1. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we see here that the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about when he does come, this is what he's going to do. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Praise the Lord. This body is falling apart. I feel it every day as I get older, don't we? It's getting older. And he says, it shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Praise the Lord. He is the master. He's the in control of all things in heaven and in earth. And then one day, we too, who will be resurrected, like he was resurrected, are going to be fashioned like into his body. So I think that's a real encouragement here that the Apostle Paul is trying to say, look, don't put any dependency in the flesh. Because that's what the whole chapter is about. The whole book is really about. But we should be focused on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and how he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, according to the scriptures. And that we are not to put our faith in the flesh or in men. But keep in mind that we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit who empowers us, and we have this. We can rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh is dying, and it will eventually, I think of it, it's kind of a morbid thought, but we're all going to be reduced to a box at best, a box in the grave. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be resurrected from the grave. And it's interesting, too, that even if you're reduced to something smaller than a box, that if you're cremated or whatever happens to your body, if it goes into one of the towers and gets evaporated in the flames, or where if it ends up in the sea and gets eaten by sharks, it's all going to come together, and Christ is going to subdue all things to himself, and he's going to bring us back, and he's going to resurrect us. So no matter what we're reduced to, we're going to be, the flesh will die, but we're going to be reduced to nothing. But those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be resurrected in newness of life. And with this blessed hope in view, the Apostle Paul is trying to say something here I think that's important to us. And that's what he gets into in chapter 4, because he says, therefore, my brethren. He concludes this thought about not putting any confidence in the flesh by saying, look, we're going to all be changed like to be like Christ. What a wonderful thought. And so today, what I'd like to do is just emphasize a little bit more on this, the part of the resurrection. I think Kevin said it so well this morning when he gave his announcements, that we have newness of life in Christ. And this power of the resurrection, this is what he's referring to in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Brothers and sisters, are we learning about the power of his resurrection? I like to suggest that in this chapter, there are some things that we need to think about and look for in our lives that we may gain the power of his resurrection in our lives. And it's interesting, as we go into this chapter, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He wants them to stand fast in the Lord, put all their confidence in the Lord, not in the flesh, not in men, but the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven, and he's coming to get us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he's re-emphasizing this, to stand fast in the Lord. And then we see here in verses 2 and 3, he wants us to embrace the power of his resurrection in this one idea, and that is that we are to be unified together. He wants us to live in unity one with another. So he brings out these two women here. He says, I beseech Odias and beseech Syntyche. I've heard it said Odious and Soon Touchy, but it might be one way to remember that, but I think it brings the thought out. It brings that thought out, doesn't it? Here we have two women in the assembly, they're arguing about something, they have a disagreement, they're not getting along. I'm guilty. I've been that way a few times. Any of us else guilty? I think so. I think that could be a real problem. But it's interesting how Paul emphasizes this, that the power of the resurrection, I think, that he's referring to here, and the awareness of the fact that our citizenship is in heaven and that Christ is coming to get us, we should get along with one another. And he refers to these two women here, and he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Then again, he emphasizes this, the fact that not only is their citizenship in heaven, but they have a birth certificate in heaven, if you will. And that's probably not good theology, but to think of it, our names are written in the book of life. And it's because of that citizenship that we have in heaven, the citizenship and what we have in Christ that is now seated in heaven with Christ can be our experience here. We should get along. And so he emphasizes these two women should get along, have the same mind in the Lord in verse 2. Have the same mind in the Lord. We should all have the same mind in the Lord. That's not easy because we do have sin in us. We're sinful. We're still sinning. And that's part of the sanctification that the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God for his sanctification. He is sanctifying us. He's changing us daily. And I thank the Lord for that. And in knowing that, we are to try to get along here because we're practicing what we're going to be like in heaven. We're going to get along there. Don't ask me how. I just trust the Lord that we will. And I think he's trying to emphasize that once we understand that and are aware of that, we can be confident in that, that we can do that here and now. That's the power of the resurrection, is to have this fellowship one with another in having the same mind. Not just the same mind, but the same mind in the Lord. And what is the same mind in the Lord? Don't be taken up with the flesh. The flesh will kill. It destroys. It causes problems. It causes all kinds of contentions. He refers to that, but where our minds are to be like Christ himself, who thought himself, how does he say it? Although he thought himself to be equal with God, he had no confidence in himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And I think that's the answer to this. How do we get along? And same mind in the Lord, we're to, I'm speaking to myself here. I got my pink finger pointing out there, but I see three pointing back. I keep reminding myself of that. How are we supposed to do that? Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. That's how we get along. How do we humble ourselves? Well, something to think about. But I think it's the time when we just take the low place and say, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, sister. And just try to get along, knowing that we're in the Lord and we have the same mind in the Lord. So he goes on here to say, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known. Let your moderation may be made known to all men. And I found an interesting description of this moderation in one of the commentaries I read. It's a sweet reasonableness. A sweet reasonableness. Think about that. To be reasonable with one another and to get along with one another. So let your moderation be made known unto all men. For the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? He's at hand. I think it means that the Lord is nearby to help us, to guide us, to give us the strength and the ability to humble ourselves before one another. But we need to look to him for that. We need to examine ourselves for that. And again, I think of the Lord's Prayer, where he says, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. There's a mutual thing there. I'm to look to my own heart, and I confess my sins before him. And we know that we have the confidence in God that he's forgiven us of all our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But as we forgive others, and they forgive us, we forgive each other. And that, I think, is the moderation known unto all men. That reasonableness, that sweet reasonableness that we are to be one with another. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he goes on to talk about strengthening the strength that we can get in the Lord through prayer. And I think this is another step that we need to take in the power of his resurrection. It's very needful for us to be in prayer and not to be stressful, but to be thankful. And then we can experience the peace of God. Look what he says here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says it so plainly here. I don't know how I could have missed it all these years that I've been saved. I haven't. I just haven't examined it. As I try to examine it now in my own heart, we're to be thankful to the Lord, and we're to make our requests made known unto God, and then we experience the peace of God. It's when we're in that fellowship with the Lord, and as we're praying to Him and bringing all our supplications and our anxieties before Him, just let Him know. I've made a change in my life where I make it a point to be in front of the Lord every day for a period of time. And I can remember praying last night, Lord, no matter what happens today, and I was thinking I could sin, I could have a disagreement with somebody, but Lord, I'm going to get in Your presence in the morning. And I did. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. He helps me do that. Because it's not within me to want to do that. He gives me the power to both will and to do of His good pleasure. And it's in His good pleasure that we do spend time with Him in prayer, being thankful to Him. Thankful. There's so many things to be thankful for. I brought up here a list. This is some of the something I use in the morning when I pray. You want some things to be thankful for? His mercy, His grace, His love, His faithfulness, His promises, the hope of His resurrection, justification, sanctification, glorification, holiness, righteousness, His righteousness, His salvation. Should I go on? I could go on and on and on. I'm just giving you a partial list, but as I spend time with Him in the morning, I think these words in my mind and my heart, and I'm thankful to Him for His mercy. I'm thankful to Him for His grace. And as I do that, I'm made aware of my sinfulness, and I confess my sins before the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have so many things to be thankful for. We are to adore Him. I think of the little, I think it's an acronym, ACTS. We adore Him. We confess our sins to Him, and we are thankful to Him. And then we are in supplication one with another, one for one another. We pray for each other. And that simple acronym helps me to think about some of the things I want to do in my prayer time with Him, to adore Him, to love and adore Him, and to confess my sins to Him. He wants us to confess them. So, brothers and sisters, it's... And the peace of God in verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's the peace of God that shall keep our hearts. I'm just so thankful to Him that He gives me the ability and He strengthens us through the power of prayer and through and I think that's part of the glorification that we enjoy Him and the sanctification that we have in Him. And the fellowship of, I'm sorry, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Then he goes on here to talk about this power to purify us. He says, finally, brethren, in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I just thought of something here. Could I be thinking of the things that aren't true of people in the assembly? Could I be thinking of the things that aren't honest within the assembly? Could I be thinking about the things that are not just? That's just not right. Do we ever take that attitude? That person shouldn't be like that. Should I be like that? Whatsoever things are pure. The Lord Jesus Christ is pure. The Lord Jesus Christ is just. The Lord Jesus Christ is honest, and He's true. He says, whatsoever things are a good report. Is there anything that we can say bad about things that are going on in the assembly? Need I say more? But we should be thinking about the good things that are happening in the assembly and talking about those things, encouraging one another. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, it just makes me so thankful that the Lord gives us a different way of looking at things. The good way. What are things that are pure? The virtues, the good things that people are doing, they have as far as characteristics that remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ in their virtues. Think on these things. So as I think about this, this has a purifying effect on us. It purifies us in our fellowship one with another. And we are sanctified further and being purified. And one day we're going to be like Christ, remember. We saw that in chapter 3. We're going to be like Him. We're going to be resurrected with Him and be like him, and so shall we ever be with him. And then he goes on at verse 9. He gives himself as an example here. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. That's kind of a bold statement, but I think it's true. We're to imitate Paul. We're to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says in chapter 2. We're to imitate Timothy, as he says in chapter 2, and Epaphroditus in chapter 2. It goes on and on. He's going to mention Epaphroditus again. But we're to imitate Paul. The Apostle Paul wants us to imitate him and to do what we've learned and received and heard. And that's why it's so helpful to really understand the New Testament and learn it and really make it a part of our hearts. And then here we see that he satisfies. He satisfies. Look at what he says in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. What a wonderful that example is that he can give us, that he's learned whatever state he is in to be content. Why? Because I know both now, both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He's willing to take anything that comes his way. That's the fellowship of his suffering. He was imprisoned. He was left for dead a couple of times. He was shipwrecked. And we read in 1 Corinthians. But we think whatever he went through, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and suffer need. He knows how to do it. What an example. But he says, look at this, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when I think of this, the power of his resurrection, we have the power of Christ who lives in us through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And that's the power of the resurrection in our life. Brothers and sisters, it's you know, the world celebrates the resurrection of Christ, but they continue to have, as he says in chapter 3, they mind earthly things. People say, yeah, they believe in the resurrection. Do they really? Do I really? I challenge my own heart that if I believe in the resurrection, I'm going to want to sin less. I want to be more like Christ and to carry on his virtues in my life. And I'm going to want that for others and to have that fellowship one with another. But he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So he's content no matter whether he's in need or when he's not in need. And the Apostle Paul is a great example to us, and we should learn more from the New Testament. And in verses 14 on, we see here, Jesus himself is the source of this. And then it leads us into a sanctifying power. We see that notwithstanding, ye have well done, in verse 14, that ye did communicate with my affliction. What he means here is that you shared some fellowship with him, financial fellowship. And he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, this was so important to him. He talks so much about the gospel in the first chapter, and he mentions it again, that he loved the support. He loved the support in the gospel, beginning in the gospel. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he was thankful to them for it, and they did share it with him through Epaphroditus. You remember Epaphroditus was with him. He brought some money to him, and he got sick, almost to the point of death. And the Apostle Paul was bothered by that, but he did survive the sickness, and he sent them back. But he goes on to say here, he says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He was very thankful for the things that they shared with him. So this is an important power of the resurrection, I believe, is to be able to share with one another financially in respect of the gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, having fellowship in the gospel, and the Apostle Paul really appreciated that. And then we see in verse 17, he says, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit. He didn't really want something for himself, but rather he saw from them their outpouring of love and care for him to give them in fellowship, financial fellowship, that he saw that as a tremendous fruit that you may abound, that may abound to your account. So he was very thankful to see that they were bearing fruit. It makes me think about John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. And as a husbandman, he wants to prune us so that we bear more fruit. And part of that fruit that we would bear is to be giving and sharing with one another. And truly they were. And so we see that verse 18, but I have all and I abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, he's reminding them of Epaphroditus again, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I think that's so wonderful. He saw that gift that they had given him through Epaphroditus as a sacrifice. I think of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then here they are sacrificing of their needs themselves to him in a financial way. And he was very thankful for that. And he saw that as a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. When we think about the Old Testament sacrifices, it would be comparable to the bulls and the goats and the sheep that were slaughtered. Those were sacrifices in that time. But he says that these are sacrifices that offer up a sweet smell that's well-pleasing to God. God loves a cheerful giver, and he sees them as cheerful givers. So then finally we see here in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. So not only does he see that the Lord blessed him, but that he will bless them as well. They have this mutual faith in the Lord, and he said that he shall supply all your need. We can take that too for ourselves, that God will supply all our needs. Then finally, we see this glorifying power. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Remember when he was talking about them in chapter 1, about how they were preaching the gospel, some with contention, some with good intentions. He says, I don't care. The gospel is being preached. So we see finally he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He gives us much more than we deserve. And we know that his mercy, he holds back what we truly do deserve. But when we think about this sanctifying power and this glorifying power, it helps us to appreciate the power of his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ can do all these things in us. He can cause us to have one mind with one another, to forgive one another, and to show moderation to one another, and to think on better things, and to pray for one another, and to pray for all things for ourselves, and to pray for one another. But it's very important that we think on the things that are truly going to glorify God, not glorify the flesh. Remember, this is what this whole epistle is about, not glorifying the flesh. The flesh kills. But we should be raising up Christ, because he's the glorious one. He's the one with all these wonderful things you see in verse 8. He's the one that's true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, wonderful virtues, always worthy of praise. So brothers and sisters, we should think on these things, because it does give us the power of his resurrection as we live in Christ, and he lives in us. Christ, as that song said, I love that song, brother, Christ liveth in me. So, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that we're encouraged by this portion of the Word of God to look to God for this resurrection power in our life, and that we can use it to encourage one another, to edify one another in the wonderful things that God has given us, both here and now, but more importantly, that we have with Christ in heaven when we're going to be with Him. For we look in chapter 3, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him. He's coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we don't have time to look at it, but you know what chapter I'm talking about. When the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and all those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So therefore, comfort one another with these words. We look forward to the Lord coming, and we should live more in tune with that. And I just pray that the Lord would bless the reading of His word in these humble thoughts. Heavenly Father, we just praise Thee and thank Thee for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for all the glories that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to think on Him and to think on these things as they bring us closer to Christ. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of the fact that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that Your Son is soon going to be coming to take us to Himself. And we look forward to that day, Lord. And we just give Thee thanks and praise on this resurrection day, Lord, as He is resurrected in our heart, and that we live for Him and that He lives in us. Help us, Lord, to yield our spirit to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.